So good evening, Watercliffe Baptist Church. So happy to be with you guys. Tonight I really wanted to share a message with you that's been on my heart for the past few weeks, actually. And I was speaking to Pam about it and said, you know, there's one word that just has stood out for me since I'd been in school, since I was 14 years old, and that was the word integrity. And I said, but what does that mean? And when we look at the Bible and we see this word integrity, how do I live a life of integrity? So just to take you guys back, we're going to take a journey back into William's life. We're going to see medium to big 14-year-old William back playing rugby when I was 14 years old. I got into the rugby field and my coach would shout at us and say, boys, we have to have integrity when we play. You've got to give your all and make sure that you're accountable for what you do out there. And that was the word he used. And I heard that word and I went, whew. That's a cool word. You know, I really want to make sure that I'm implementing integrity in the way that I play rugby. And so he'd rally us up and make sure that every time before we went out onto the field, that we heard this word integrity. And it was like, yeah, give your all. You know, I wish everybody else felt the same way about the word integrity, because otherwise, maybe we wouldn't lose 109-0 to Grey Bloom if we did. But otherwise, that's another story on its own. So then, yeah, going into the Word of God, I saw the word integrity, and I said, okay, here we've got this word again. But obviously, it doesn't mean the same thing. You know, in the Bible, we're not reading the Bible to play rugby, okay? And I think it's good to read your Bible before you go and play rugby or do whatever it is that you do. But, you know, it's not this natural, okay, before we play rugby, you have to read the Bible. That's part of the game, no? All right? So obviously, there's a different meaning when we read in the Scriptures. So I always knew what integrity looked like on the sports field, but how did it apply to my everyday life? In the Scriptures, the Hebrew translates integrity as uprightly, which implies completeness. Many translations have translated this to mean honesty and righteousness. Even though I would agree with the meaning here, I believe integrity better describes the completeness of a person in their dedication to God. And so that's just to paint the picture. We've got this idea of, yeah, okay, I think when I walk through life, I can have integrity and I can be this upright person who's honest and righteous. But what does that mean when there isn't a wholehearted dedication to God? So yeah, some of us are righteous. Some of us have the ability to display honesty. But however, biblical integrity speaks more about this continuous act of dedication. We continuously dedicate ourselves and hold ourselves accountable to God. Sorry about the mic, guys. So I was told that integrity is holding up your moral values and principles even when no one is watching. And I think a lot of us have heard that phrase before, you know? When nobody's watching, what are you doing? You know, are you being righteous? Are you being honest then? And so the idea is to be honest and to be righteous, but not just in the way we act around others, but in the way we carry ourselves when no one is watching. And the reality is, we know that God is always watching us. So to truly be a person of integrity, we can't be like Adam and Eve and hide behind the fig leaves and still expect God not to be there, because He is definitely there. We need to remind ourselves as believers that that's what's going on when it comes to considering our own righteousness and our own honesty. So guys, does the church today properly display the characteristics of integrity? You know, do I even do that? So the focus is tonight is not on your peers. I don't want you to think about the people next to you and are they people who display integrity. I think that's part of it, but the more I want to focus on tonight is you. I want you guys to have an opportunity to actually just step back and picture yourself in front of the mirror and say to yourself, Robert, do you have integrity? Marisol, do you have integrity? Richard, do you have integrity? And that's where I want you guys to be, that mindset. So before I go on, let's close our eyes and pray and get into the Word. Father God, we just thank you so much for this place. We thank you for a place where we can come together as believers and just learn more about you. Where we can come and just understand who you are and how you want to work in our lives. But most importantly, Lord, I pray that tonight as we focus on ourselves and we look at our own lives and how we live, that we can continuously ask ourselves, are we living a life that is honoring you? Are we living a life that is righteous? For God, we can't do it without you. And I just pray tonight as we hear these words coming from the scriptures that your message will ring true in people's hearts and that this not be my message, but that this be a message that the church needs to hear. So thank you for this opportunity. Thank you for this day. And I pray that this message rings true in our hearts for the week. Pray this in the holy name of Jesus. Amen. All right, so just to reinforce that point, guys, biblical integrity is never backing down from doing the will of God wholeheartedly. So how can one walk the Christian walk of integrity? So we're going to look at three wise sayings tonight. I've got three scriptures coming from the Proverbs. And we're going to kind of break down how wisdom is a fundamental aspect of Christian integrity. So yes, guys, we're focusing on integrity. But I want you guys to see that link, that it has actually got so much to do with wisdom. How are we trusting in God, our wisdom, our understanding, and our knowledge? So the first thing we're going to look at is integrity grants wisdom. And then we're going to read from Proverbs 2, from verse 5 to 8. And it reads as follows. Then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk in integrity, guarding the paths of justice and watching over the way of his saints. Now that's coming from the ESV, and I point out that it's coming from the ESV because I know that there are a few translations that don't actually use the word integrity. And I want to say that's fine, because at the end of the day, the point of the passage is pointing to integrity, and it's pointing to wisdom. And that's the fundamental aspect of the scriptures that we're going to be looking at tonight. So I want to start you guys off with a biblical example, all right? We've got this cool guy called Solomon. He's a son of David. He's a king of Israel, so quite high up, and people respect him. And one day Solomon is sitting and he says, Lord, grant me the gift of wisdom. So what does God do? God gives this man called Solomon wisdom, this king, Solomon, wisdom. And so we know this because from the very book I'm reading from tonight is coming from the words of Solomon, all right? This is a book of wisdom. It speaks about how we can be wise believers, how we can wisely follow the Lord. But can we say that at the end of Solomon's story, that he was actually truly a wise man? And so what we can see from the story of Solomon, when his story comes to an end, he is a man who actually abandons God. He's a man that says, but you know what, actually, I can do things on my own. I don't need this God. So can we really say that he's a true example of someone or a character of wisdom? I think in the moment of writing Proverbs, when he asked God for that gift, and God answered and he said, I'll grant you that wisdom. And so in that moment, yes. But towards the end of his life, no. Because the wisest decision we can make, brothers and sisters, is to put our faith in God. So how wise is it for a man to abandon the very God that had given him that wisdom? And so instead, I want to focus on a character, his father, King David. And I would say that is a person who actually displayed a multitude of wisdom when it came to his faith in God. He was wise enough to recognize his sin. He was wise enough to look at his life and say, Father, I have done you wrong. Father, I haven't been the son that you need me to be. And so he goes to the Father, he goes to God, and he says, I'm sorry. Can you forgive me for this? We know how that turns out. And so we can see there was wisdom in that. He recognized that he didn't trust in God. And so he went to God and he said, I know that. It doesn't mean I'm going to give up on you. You are still number one in my life. So jumping into the passage, looking at Proverbs 2 verse 6 first, it says, For the Lord gives wisdom, from his mouth come knowledge and understanding. So godly people are granted this treasure only from God. Wisdom is given from God as knowledge and understanding. And now, this is not to say that people can't be wise without God. I think we can, if we had to now sit tonight and try and make a list of people who were all known as wise people throughout the years, I think we could get a very, very long list. And we're probably going to have a few people in there that aren't Christians, okay? So just want to put that out there, guys. You know, wisdom can come naturally through living out in the world. But the wisdom we're talking about tonight is the most important question around wisdom, which is the wisest decision you can make. It's got to do with that, which is to follow God. And so that wisdom, that understanding and knowledge, is speaking about the understanding and knowledge of God. Without that, we cannot have a true godly wisdom. In other words, we can't follow out the will of God in our lives. We can't follow out His will for our lives if we are not being wise in choosing to follow Him. Secondly, reading from Proverbs 2 verse 5, for wisdom is a fear of the Lord and knowledge of God. Godly wisdom is found only in the Lord. And that's emphasizing that point. We're not going to have that godly wisdom. We can't expect to know how to fully follow and respect and honor God's word and His direction in our lives if we are not focusing on Him. If we're not being wise and making the decision to wholeheartedly follow Him. And next, at Proverbs 2 verse 8, God protects them. He protects the saints. For they reside in God. They will not face the consequences of judgment. And they may live knowing they are safe in God's final judgment. And so, guys, this is a theme that's going to ring throughout all these passages. But that theme ultimately is that, yes, there is a wrong side of the coin that we can fall on. There's a good side and a bad side. And there's an opportunity to be with God in our wisdom to follow Him. And failing to do so, well, that makes things a little more complicated, doesn't it? So guys, ultimately, does this apply to all of us? Do you think every single one of us requires wisdom to fully understand God? And I'd say definitely. We definitely need to have that wisdom. We need to know what we believe. We need to understand our God. Otherwise, what reason do we have to believe in Him? None. So it is not wise to deny a Christ that can save mankind from its sin. And so in our wisdom, we need to seek our understanding of Christ and who He is and what He has done. For without that, we could receive a terrible fate. So what's the point here, guys? Be wise and know that your faith in God is not in vain. God grants us wisdom. He gives us an opportunity to know Him. He's given us a mind that is capable of comprehending who He is in our lives. And so we need to make an effort to continue that journey of understanding Him. Our second point looks at integrity that guides us to make wise choices. There we'll be reading from Proverbs 11, from verse 2 to 7. When pride comes, then comes disgrace. But with the humble is wisdom. The integrity of the upright guides them, but the crookedness of the treacherous destroys them. Riches do not profit in the day of wrath, but righteousness delivers from death. So to give another biblical example, I thought the most ideal character to speak about making wise choices would be the Apostle Paul. I think so often, guys, we get into this mindset that, you know, I'm just going to live my life, I'm going to go do my own thing, and I'm going to let God come with me, you know? It's like I've got an open seat next to me, and like, God, you can sit there, I'm driving. Okay? But is this truly the way God has called us to live? Has He asked us to, you know, just do your thing and I'll be there when you need me? I think if that's our perspective of God, we've got the wrong perspective, guys. And that's why I've used the example of Apostle Paul here, because when we look at the book of Acts and we see how engaging he is with the community and how engaged he is with the Holy Spirit's leading in his ministry, there isn't a single decision, I believe, that Apostle Paul has made when it came to where he wanted to go, which souls needed to be reached first. And do you think that was just a coincidence? You think he was just like, oh, my gut tells me I must go that way, not that way? No. He trusted in the Spirit to lead him. And so likewise, guys, are we just going to willy-nilly make decisions because, yeah, I think this is what's best for my family. I think this is what's best for the direction in my career. Or are we going to do like with the songs that we've been singing tonight and the verses that Jason has been sharing with us about being on our knees, fighting from our knees, and going to God and saying, hey, you know what? God, I maybe think I should be doing this, but maybe you've got a different plan. Maybe there's something else I should do. And it doesn't have to be the result that maybe gets me more money, or the result that makes my family happier, or the result that at the end of the day makes it seem like life's going to get better. The point here is more about what is the right decision. Sometimes the right decision is the hard decision. And the outcome may not seem as great, but when we realize how much that honors God, to me as a believer, I don't see anything greater than that, to be honest. Do I want to make decisions that just makes my bank account fuller so that I can buy more things? Or do I want to make decisions that might mean that I'll have to depend on my neighbors and my friends to bring me food every month, but that allows me to fully serve my God and the people out there that need Him the most? For me as a believer, there's a no-brainer there, guys. We need to trust in God in our decision making. So let's jump into these scriptures and see how the scriptures are guiding us in making wise decisions. So focusing on Proverbs 11 verse 2, there is wisdom in choosing the path of the upright. We cannot assume that our faith is true. And I'm just going to read verse 2 for you to give you that context there. When pride comes, then comes disgrace. But with the humble is wisdom. And so, guys, that's emphasizing the point that I've just shared with you. We really need to sometimes make the tough decisions. Not because they're easier, not because they're going to benefit us more, but because they are the right decisions. But I want to take it a bit further and also say another thing that this passage is showing us. When we're being humble in our wisdom, I also believe that it means we need to be in a space where our wisdom isn't just something we acknowledge and put off to the side. But our wisdom is also ensuring that this faith that I speak of and this belief that I speak of is true. Do I wake up every day just believing, yes, I'm saved and the Lord has blessed me and I'm going to have a great day because of it? Or am I making sure that every day those little challenges and those little things that get in the way and those few atheists and those few agnostics that are questioning my beliefs, am I focusing on that and saying, you know what, God, some of these things actually challenge me. And in that challenging, the wisdom approach that I'm going to have to it is to understand what you're speaking into those questions. The questions I have. I think every single one of us here have got some roadblocks. We've got some barriers. And there's some scriptures that we can read and we can say, sure, God, I'm not so sure about that. I'm not so sure about what you're saying there. I don't think I want to live that out. But in truth, if we want to make a wise decision in that, it'll be to ensure that we are equipped to understand every part of God's word, especially the parts of it that we challenged with the most. So to carry on, then going to Proverbs 11 verse 3. I'll read it for you guys again, or I've got it here. The integrity of the upright guides them, but the crookedness of the treacherous destroys them. Now, I don't want to focus again on that condemnation aspect of those who choose not to walk a path of wisdom. But instead, the wisdom supports people through their struggles in life, as there is a dependence on God and not on ourselves. And so I want to quote another verse there coming from Matthew 11, verse 30. It reads, "For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." And that's where I believe when God is saying, be wise and have integrity, He's saying, when you have that wisdom to follow me, and when you have that wisdom to listen to how I'm guiding you in the decisions that you're going to make, that you'll do it wholeheartedly knowing that God is in control. I think so easily we get swayed and we think, you know, I don't actually want to trust in God because what if I don't get the outcome I want? Then the question we need to ask ourselves there is, do I trust in God enough? Am I dependent enough on Him? And again, the integrity of the upright guides them. You need to wholeheartedly trust that when you are putting your faith in God, that He has 100% got your back. And then He's going to guide you. If we don't believe that, guys, if we don't believe that, we're lacking that integrity. We can't follow God wholeheartedly. We have to believe that. Then carrying on in Proverbs 11, verse 4. Riches do not profit in the day of wrath, but righteousness delivers from death. And I want to focus on that riches part again. There is a greater reward in living honestly for God than there is in living for wealth. Is there anything that can replace God? And speaking on that illustration I gave you guys in the beginning, looking at Paul and being led in the Spirit, and sometimes having less, but having then more in God. That's exactly the point here. But I want to stress that point even more and say, guys, please, if you want to be a Christian with integrity and follow the wisdom that God has given you and be guided by the wisdom that He grants you, you cannot fall for this idea that there is something in this world that is greater than God. You cannot. The moment you put yourself in that space is the moment everything is going to fall apart in your relationship with God. You know, I know so many people who say they are believers, but they themselves won't even commit Christ as first in their lives. You know, I'm a Christian because I know God's going to save me. But am I a Christian because I fully believe that God is leading in my life, that He's in control, that He's in the driver's seat? And I'm here to tell you today, if we don't see God in the driving seat, we are not being Christians with integrity. We are not making wise decisions. And so to emphasize that and get more specific to some of you guys, does your bank account sway your moral choices? That's ultimately where this is going. Are we letting what we have become more than who He is? And so I want to use another example here. And to me, I'm going to share a bit of my testimony here. I don't know, some of you might know that I've got the call of missions in my heart, and I know that there will come a day and a time when the Lord calls me to serve Him full-time in the missions field. But you know what made me the most scared about that idea? When I started studying in college, I initially thought to myself, yeah, I'll be a youth pastor, and then someday I might become a pastor, and I'll have my little house and my lovely family. I'll get my paycheck every month, and everything's going to be hunky-dory. Now, I'm not saying that Pastor Paul's job is that simple, all right? I'm pretty sure that he's had some hardships of his own, and I'm by no means demeaning any other forms of ministry. But that was my image as a 19-year-old boy going into ministry. And how I saw missions, I saw just these are the hardcore oaks. You know, these guys are going out there with their Bibles under their arm and they're making sure they've got the whole community following them. But if there's nobody behind them, there's no one they're working with. And so, do they have money on the table for when they have to feed their children? Are they getting through each month saying, yeah, that was a good month? You know, I met a missionary couple when I was still in Willows Methodist Church. And they hadn't had a permanent home. They'd come back to South Africa after being around in Africa doing missions. And sorry about this mic. they hadn't had a permanent home for like 5 years. They'd just been hopping from place to place. And then they would tell me a story like it was Christmas Eve and they needed to pay their rent and otherwise they were going to get kicked out. And by the time it came to Christmas Day when they had to have everything paid to make sure they wouldn't get kicked out, there was money there in the bank account. And they had money for another month. And so I heard 1,000 stories like that from missionaries and I just thought, I don't think my heart can take that. You know, just thinking to myself, do I have to wait until the last hour, the last minute to know that God's going to be there? Because I doubted that. I really felt to myself, can God really be there for me like this? But then yet God put that message on my heart. I was down in tears when God called me to the missions field because I just thought, God, I can't deal with this. I don't want this. Slowly but surely, God used that time and he showed me the book of Jonah and just said, you know, I've got a plan for you. You just got to trust it. So that's what we have to have in these decisions, guys, in making sure that we have the integrity that guides us to make these wise decisions. I know one day it's going to be rough. I know one day it's going to be tough. But I also know that God's going to be there. And God's put amazing people in my life and he's made amazing changes in my life that assures me that he's in control and that he has my hand in all of this. So the point here, guys, being wise in your decision making means letting go and letting God. And I know we hear this phrase a lot, but I really want you to let that phrase sink in tonight. Are you able to let go and let God? So that's going to bring us to our third point. We're going to now look at integrity giving us wisdom. So reading from Proverbs 11 from verse 18 to 21. The wicked earns deceptive wages, but one who sows righteousness gets a sure reward. Whoever is steadfast in righteousness will live, but he who pursues evil will die. Those of crooked heart are an abomination to the Lord, but those of blameless ways are his delight. Be assured, an evil person will not go unpunished, but the offspring of the righteous will be delivered. So jumping back to the Bible, the character I resonated most with this point was Peter. I think so many of us know the stories of Peter when Christ was still, you know, doing his earthly missions for those 3 years. And we know Peter as this guy who always messed up. You know, Peter this, Peter that, Peter, when the crow hawks 3 times, you will know that you have deceived me. You will know that you have abandoned me. And we know that walking on the water, Peter tries to step out and he sinks. And so in this, we can see he didn't have that full trust in the Lord. He didn't trust the Lord and that the Lord would guide him. But then after Christ's ascension, we see a different Peter. We remember that Christ called Peter the rock of the church for a reason, because Peter began the ministry of Christ through the church. He began the ministries of the church and the church's growth through his apostleship and the other apostles with him. And that Peter that we see is a person who is a leader, a person who does amazing things in the name of the Lord. And so what we can see there is Peter went from being this guy who was unsure, who made mistakes, who wasn't fully dependable, to the rock of the church. Now, that's not growth. I don't know what is. And so when we speak about integrity giving wisdom, we're speaking about this growth of wisdom. We can be in a place where maybe we don't know so much, Maybe our understanding is little. Maybe our knowledge is minute. But through Christ and through our understanding and our relationship of Him, we can grow this. And God will continue to fill us up and give us the wisdom that we need in understanding Him and in our relationship with Him. So going to the scriptures again, Proverbs 11 verse 18. The wicked earns deceptive wages, but one who sows righteousness gets a sure reward. There is a duty given by God that man must do. The righteous man fulfills God's commandments. Striving to be righteous leads to more righteousness. And so what I want to point out here, guys, is we cannot focus on a problem to fix the problem. And this is where us being given wisdom is vital. When we go back to that verse, but one who sows righteousness gets a sure reward. Their focus there, we know that this passage, again, it's got a part where it's speaking about condemnation and it's speaking about those who are not righteous, the people who are wicked. But when he speaks about the righteous, he's saying they desire that. They sow righteousness. They're doing righteousness in their world. And in that focus, in that doing, in that wholeheartedly giving to the Lord, God equips them to continue doing that goodness. Looking at then Proverbs 11 verse 20, those of crooked heart are an abomination to the Lord, but those of blameless ways are His delight. And we're going to focus on that second part again. Blameless living is the Lord's delight. Your wisdom grows when your focus is on Christ. So what I want to bring up here, some of my earliest mentors always used to tell me, William, you cannot fix a problem by focusing on your sin. You cannot get rid of your sin by thinking about all the things you've done wrong. It's never going to deal with it. They said to me, as believers, our focus is not on the things we do wrong, but is on the Christ who is perfect. Are we called Christians because we have faith in Christ? Or are we called Christians because we are people who wish to emanate Christ? The answer is both. But here I'm emphasizing how us being Christians is this desire to every day when we wake up and we want to serve God wholeheartedly. Instead of thinking, God, I'm not going to do this today. God, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to make sure that I do everything right so that I'm not sinning. The point is the contrary. It's saying, Christ, this is who you are. This is the person you are. This is the perfection that you are. I'm going to try and be that. So we have to have our focus on being like Christ. A good example I can use here is the divorce care we've been doing at the church. It's been so amazing just seeing that everybody that comes to divorce care, they're not coming with their hate and their frustration and all the difficulties that they've had from their marriages and just, you know, bad-mouthing their past spouses so that they can feel better. The point of it is that they can come to a place to acknowledge and understand what's gone on, to deal with the issues that has come from something as devastating as a divorce. And so they're not coming and saying, maybe at the end of it I might hate people less and I might cry less. No. The point of it all is giving them an opportunity to let Christ heal their hearts. And so where's the wisdom in this? The wisdom is acknowledging that yes, we are broken. Yes, there are things that we are imperfect at and we can never be perfect. But the answer isn't going to be focusing on that. The answer is going to be in focusing on Christ and what He wants for you. So as we grow in wisdom, we trust in Christ more. And it starts to look more like we are actually living with integrity. So guys, don't focus on your problems and your sin. Focus on Christ and how He can give you the wisdom to overcome whatever it is that you're dealing with. in wrapping up. The main point tonight is that it's important to be a Christian who walks with integrity. Each passage here, we know, considers the other side and the consequences of failing to walk with integrity. So there's a message of condemnation. If we're not going to live a wise life for God, if we're not going to focus on being people who want to emulate Christ wholeheartedly and put Christ in the driving seat, make sure that He is driving our lives, if we're not going to do that, there is condemnation. So this is a warning. So the message of integrity doesn't just apply to those who are the what, the witbroekies, or whatever you want to call it of the church, the people who are the best servants and the most active in the church. No. The message of integrity is for every single one of us who say that Christ is Lord. Because if Christ is not first, then where is He? If Christ is not first, something else is. And that, I promise you guys, is not good enough for God. But bringing it back to the focus, like I said, we're not here to focus on the sin. We're not here to focus on that that takes us away from God, but instead, what allows us to be Christians who walk with integrity. And so I'm going to recap what we've looked at. Integrity that grants wisdom is desiring integrity that leads to a wisdom that considers faith in Christ. In other words, it is wise to follow Christ. Let's not be like King Solomon and abandon everything God has done for us. And then secondly, integrity guides to wise choices. Wise choices considers letting go and letting God. God needs to be in the driving seat. He needs to be the one ensuring that the decisions we make are aligned with His will, not with our own. Finally, integrity gives wisdom. You will grow in wisdom if you focus on Christ and not on your sin. So brothers and sisters, in striving for biblical integrity, we must seek for wisdom. This wisdom leads to a genuine Christian walk. I'm going to throw the question back at you guys now. Do you fully believe that you walk with integrity? Do you do all these things without an expectation of praise from others? And do you seek to grow in your wisdom? Do you want to know God more? Do you question yourself day in and day out to ensure that your faith is true every day you wake up? Because guys, to me that's wisdom. It's checking myself day in and day out and making sure that when I do what I'm doing in my day, that I'm fully fulfilling the will of God in my life. Every day that I can say that I haven't done that is a day when I haven't been walking with integrity. So that's my encouragement to you. This is not a message to say this is how bad we are. This is a message to say we have the capacity to do amazing things in the name of the Lord, but we can't do those things if we don't have integrity. So I encourage you this week as you wake up every morning, say, I'm going to be a Christian with integrity today. I'm going to make sure that God is in front of every decision I make. I'm going to make sure that Christ is at the center of my life. I'm going to make sure that I'm doing what He's asking me to do. Let's close and pray. Father God, we just know that You are so amazing. You have done so much in every single one of our lives that there are things we cannot even understand that You have done, or we don't even realize that You've done it yet. But as we go to You day in and day out, we trust and we believe that You hear our calls, that You hear what we have to say. And so, Lord, I encourage every single one of us here today that in our daily lives, we do not forget who You are. That we do not forget what You ask of us, and that You have given us an amazing direction to walk in. All we have to do is look towards You, look into Your Word, go on our hands and our knees and pray and say, Lord, I want to serve You. I want to be a Christian who walks with integrity. So Father, we thank you for this evening. We thank you for this time. I pray that this message rings true in our hearts and that we can take this truth into our weeks. Pray this in the holy name of Jesus. Amen.